we could only grasp the truth in that song, I think it would change our lives. How God, who created everything, created all the universe, created the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, the size that we know of the earth alone, and yet he was mindful of us. And he made a way for us to be able to live for him and live with him forever. If we could think of that and just dwell on it just for a minute, that the Almighty and all-powerful God thought of me when he sent his son to die on the cross. It makes you feel pretty small, doesn't it? But it makes you feel worth living for God, doesn't it? So willing. It just good song. Good song. Psalms chapter 32, if you want to take your Bibles and stand. Psalms chapter number 32. We're going to continue on the subject of grace tonight. I don't think we can preach enough on the grace of God. The grace and the mercy and the faithfulness and the long-suffering. And you can just go on and on and on and on and on of everything that God is to us. But tonight in Psalms chapter number 32, the Bible says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee, in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of the great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this message that you've given, Lord. I just ask that you would use me, speak through me, Lord. Just allow your message to be heard, Lord, and not mine, Lord. Just allow the things that need to be said, Lord, and the things that need to be left unsaid, Lord. Just allow me to just speak your words tonight, Lord God. I just ask that you'd be with the hearts, allow them to be open and receptive to your word. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Many of us know how difficult it can be to keep a good fellowship with God. It's difficult because every time we mess up, we lose that fellowship that we had with God. We often are discouraged at the daily battle we have with the fleshly desires and the worldly influences and the devil's deceitfulness. One thing we can always be assured of is God's forgiveness. In realizing that failure in our Christian walk and God's forgiveness through mercy and grace are a major part of our spiritual walk. In our last message, we learned that it's by God's grace that we are saved. Amen? It's by God's grace that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. Amen? But we also have learned that that God's grace does not give us the right to sin. It's not a get-out-of-jail-free card. When we sin, we separate ourselves from the fellowship with God. 1 John teaches on that. I'm going to get to that here in a second. But we separate ourselves from the fellowship with God. It's not a loss of our salvation by any means, but it does damage our relationship with God. Turn over to Psalms chapter number 66 real quick. Keep your place in Psalms chapter 32. Psalms chapter 66, verse number 18. I'm going to go ahead and start reading. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." If we keep sin in our lives, if we are so secured with ourselves that we can keep sin in our lives, our fellowship with God is separated. The Bible says in 1 John that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Darkness is a representation of sin. Light is a representation of Jesus' righteousness, of God's righteousness. If we have iniquity in our hearts, if we hide it in our hearts, it separates us from the fellowship with God. When we try to hide our sins, we struggle to have the relationship we need to have with God. It's damaging. It kind of reminds me, and Brother Britton and I were talking about this a little bit before church, but it kind of reminds me of being in the car business. Now, everybody here knows that I was in the car business for 4 years, and I by no means have every answer you ever need for the car business. But there are some things that I did learn. One thing that is common in the car business is the way that a car comes out when it's ready to be sold. There's two different kinds of cars. There's the frontline car, and there's a backlot car. Okay? Two different kinds of cars. The frontline car is clean. It's pristine. You can go up and you can look at it and you cannot see a scratch on it. You would call it a showroom-ready car. It's kind of like the auction down in Dallas where they have those old, I say old and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but like the 60s and 70s cars that are real nice and pretty. You can go up and you can see a reflection in the door. Like, I'm talking like the 1967 Shelby GT500. Come on now. Eleanor, come on. You gotta love those cars. They're clean. And then you got the backlot car. It's got a dent in the door. And it's got a scratch on the side. And there's a little bit of rust coming up under the fender well. Now, just because a car is scratched doesn't mean it can't be used anymore. It just needs some work to get back to where it would be, that showroom or frontline ready. When we don't confess our sins as the Holy Spirit reveals them to us, the relationship that we have with God stops in its tracks. The sin can even take over our lives. Consider the car. Let's say that you get a scratch on your car. Heaven forbid that ever happens, but I'll just give you an example of my car. Where we were living before, we had very tight parking spaces. And we had some friendly neighbors that didn't care how close they were to your car, and they would open up their door. And what happens when a car door hits another car door? It gets a scratch. Well, let's just say that I left that scratch, and I was like, it's not that big of a deal. It's just a little hairline scratch. It's not going to do anything. And then it rains. And then it gets cold, and it gets wet, and sooner or later, an orange color starts coming up. From that little scratch, you could see a little bit of orange coming up. And then over time, as you neglect to take care of the issue on the car, it becomes bigger, and it becomes worse. And sooner or later, and I'm going to embarrass her by saying this, it starts looking like my wife's old 2004 Ford Focus, and it becomes a big rust hole in the side of the door. And if you continue to let it get worse, it spreads throughout the rest of the body. If we hide iniquity in our heart, it slowly starts to eat away at our fellowship with God. It starts with we stop reading our Bibles. We stop hearing from God. And then it goes to we stop talking to God. Because why would we talk to God when it feels like all our prayer is doing is going up to the ceiling and that's about it? When we hide iniquity in our heart, it separates us from the fellowship. Sooner or later, we stop being faithful to church. Or even stop going altogether. We've seen that. Sin destroys our walk with God. So, what does God do when we sin? When we break our fellowship with God, it's because of sin. We know that God doesn't take our salvation away, but we do have that separation from our fellowship. The first thing that God does, and the first thing it's really the Holy Spirit that does it, is God calls us to repentance. It makes Him grieve over us because He desires that relationship. We can complain about a scratch so much on a car. I can complain all day about scratches on my car. I can complain about scratches on my wife's car. I can complain about scratches on my next door neighbor's car. Or I can do something about it. We can have that fellowship with God. We can live in sin and desire and still desire that relationship with God, but not ever do anything about our sin. Or we can do something about our sin. When we break that fellowship with God, God waits, like the father of the prodigal son. He waits to see when, and waits for when we do turn our backs to or turn back to Him. When we do not confess our sins, we put ourselves into a position where God has to chastise us. In verse number 3 and 4 of our text, it says, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into a drought of summer." Selah, think on those things. The longer we keep sin in our lives, the longer we keep hanging on to that sin, the more that God sits there and is telling us, repent, repent, repent. It grows on us. It hurts God to see us in sin. Because what does God want? He wants our fellowship. It's a picture of a father and son. I remember growing up, my dad, I love my dad, and I have a better relationship now with my dad than I had growing up. I honestly have to say that. My relationship with my father has grown over the last couple years because I've realized that when he would get on to me growing up, it wasn't because he didn't like me. It was because he didn't want to see me going down the wrong path. He didn't want to see me going down the same path at times that he went down, because he knew the right path. It's a picture of when that disobedience, it has that chastening by the Father. Sometimes that chastening is what? It's a spank on the behind. Sometimes with God, it's a spank on the behind. And it's not fun. But sometimes we need it. The great thing is when God does chasten us, He does it in love and in preparation for us to return to that fellowship that we need to have with Him. The Bible wants us to think on that. The Bible wants us to really... Sometimes our sin is just... It's a sad statement, but we're so used to that sin that the chastising of the Lord is just... it's nothing to us. The Bible wants us to think on that and think and have that in our minds of, I need to be able to listen and hear the Holy Spirit talking to me. Because there may be sin in my life that I may not even see as sin, but that God sees as sin. When we sin and our fellowship is not the same with God, it eats away at the way that we live our lives, the way that we go to work, and the way that we worship. We push ourselves away from God. It's kind of like the same as going to a battle without a weapon. You know, I do play video games, and I play a game called Call of Duty. And there's sometimes where there's an objective to go into a battle with no weapons. And it's kind of weird because the objective is to go in and win. How are you going to win without a weapon? It's kind of like the spiritual walk. How are you going to walk with God against the devil when you don't have God with you? When you're not in that fellowship with God. When we sin, when sin separates us from God, we lose our strongest weapon in the spiritual battle. So how should we take care of our sins? There are several steps we can take to properly deal with our sins. Turn over to 1 John 1:9. We know this verse very well. Pastor did a very good job of going through 1 John and really explaining the book to us. But we're going to look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. Can we get that tonight? God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confessing sin is coming to an agreement with God and God's assessment of the sin and knowing and understanding that what we have done has damaged our relationship with Him. It's not looking at a sin and saying, oh, it's little. It's going to the same agreement with God and saying, that sin is just as bad as every other sin that's committed. I need to take care of it. We must look at our sin as not something to be belittled, but look at it as God sees it and have no desire to be near it. Confession is something that should happen the moment we are convicted by the Holy Spirit about it. Oh, Brother Matt, there's sometimes where during the preaching, pastor starts stepping on my, or the message that pastor is preaching starts stepping on my toes, and just by the end of the sermon, I just forget about it, and I know I need to go to the altar at the time that the Holy Spirit starts dealing in my lives, but it's just so hard to get up and do that at the end because I forget about it. Get up when the Holy Spirit speaks to you. I know for a fact that pastor won't care about that. I've been to services, and I'm not trying to belittle our church at all, but I've been to services where the altars were full before the message even started because the Holy Spirit was moving and convicting hearts. It's sad that when the Holy Spirit convicts us, that we just sit there and just ignore it. It's so sad to see. As was said about the scratches on the car, we wouldn't just leave a scratch on a car. So why should we leave sin in our lives? Number two, we forsake the sin. A simple phrase that I have heard over the years is, leave it there. When we come to this old-fashioned altar and we confess our sins, or when we come to an agreement with God that what we have in our lives is sin, and we confess that sin, we get down on our knees and we pray and we ask for forgiveness of that sin, and then sometimes we pick it back up again. So I've asked Ben to come help me with an example real quick. This is a picture of our sin, and Ben is a picture of the Christian. Sadly, I'm gonna play Jesus, okay? So when we're walking with God, we have this fellowship. Go ahead and set this down right here. And as we walk by it, I want you to pick it up, okay? So we got this great fellowship when we get saved. We're close. We're walking together with Jesus. And we start our Christian walk, and we're going this way. And then sin picks up. Jesus keeps going because Jesus has a direction for us in our lives. But that sin that we have starts to get heavy, doesn't it? It starts to separate us from Jesus to the point where it's pretty heavy, isn't it? Hold it up a little bit higher for everybody to see. Keep it there for a minute. So many times we confess our sins, like I said before, but as soon as we get up from praying, we pick that sin back up, that load back up, and we take it back with us. Turn over to Hebrews chapter number 4. Keep holding it up, Ben. You got it. If anybody wants to know, that's two bowling balls and a pair of shoes. And yeah, it's pretty heavy. Hebrews chapter number 4. Verse number 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because God's word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, because nothing can hide from God, He encourages us to come boldly to the throne of grace, to obtain the mercy, the freely given mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus Christ wants us to take the burdens of sin that we carry and lay it at His feet and leave it, and not to go pick it up again. When we come to the cross, when we come to this old-fashioned altar and we confess our sins, it's like Jesus takes the sins and He sets them over there. And He takes us in His arms and He starts walking with us again. And He holds us tight. And when we keep that fellowship with God, whenever sin comes in, whenever we look back at that sin, God turns us away and reminds us of His grace and His mercy, and where we can go to find it. Go ahead and see. Number three, we need to know that God will forgive. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, God is faithful. That means He will every single time. Every time. He is just. He won't pick and choose what sins He wants to forgive. To forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse, to rid of any impurities by washing. Jesus' blood washed away all your sins. Your past, your present, and your future. Now, again, when we sin, we don't lose our... We lose our fellowship with God, but when He cleanses us from our sins, when we are saved, He is allowing us back into the right type of fellowship with Him. So what do we do now? We look to God. We look to God. When we feel the temptation to sin, we must look to God. He is there, He knows, and He has the solution we need to turn away from the sin. Some may say, I've allowed my sin to eat away so much of my life. I've got so much sin, Brother Matt, in my life that I just... And I know some of you are thinking, well, this is a Sunday night crowd. Okay, well, I went to church for 23 years on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and wasn't saved. I've allowed so much sin in my life, Brother Matt, that I just don't think God can forgive that much sin. May I remind you that 1 John 1:9 never put a limit on how much sin God would forgive? It's open to endless sin. It doesn't say if we confess one or two sins to God, He will forgive those sins. He says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins. Well, I've never confessed my sins. Never even been saved. Can I say, even though 1 John is written to the believer, 1 John 1:9 applies to you? He is faithful and He is just to forgive all your sins. Well, Brother Matt, I'm not really in any sin right now. I've got a good fellowship with God, and I've got a good walk with God, and I truly believe that the Lord is leading me in the direction that He would have me to go. Great. Praise the Lord. So why don't you thank Him for the forgiveness of the sin that you were in, and then ask Him to keep you from turning back and looking at the sin that you were in. Because I could tell you this, some sin is fun. Some sin is fun. It really is. And you can shake your head and agree with that, because some sin is fun, but it's still sin. And we can't have our fellowship with God when we're in that sin. We need to pray and ask God daily, help me keep away from that sin. Psalms chapter 32, verse number 1. If you're not there, go ahead and go back. Psalms chapter 32, verse number 1. Starts out by saying, blessed. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. If you're saved tonight, that verse applies to you. You're blessed. I hope you realize that. You're blessed. So how about it? I know that over the last couple weeks, we've talked a lot about grace. We've talked, even the last couple of months, we've talked a lot about grace. We've talked a lot about Psalms chapter 51, the epitome of God's grace right there, where David sins with Bathsheba, and he understands and he realizes his sin, and he begs for forgiveness of God. Where are we at tonight? As an individual, where are you at tonight? Is there sin that you're harboring in your heart that you know is eating away at your life and at your walk with God? Tonight would be a great night to get that taken care of. There may be others here tonight that are like, Brother Matt, again, I don't know of any sin in my life that's really separating me from fellowship with God. What you need to understand tonight is you're still a sinner. And there's still a need for a constant checkup with God. Constant checkup. There may be even one here tonight that says, Brother Matt, I'm still stuck on that part where I've never even asked for forgiveness of sin. The Bible says very clearly that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's that simple. I am 100% positive that there is somebody here tonight that would be willing and ready and willing to show you from the Bible how you can be saved. And not only would they be willing, but then the rest of us would rejoice with you. There may be some here that are thinking, you know, it's just a little sin, Brother Matt. It's just a little thing. It's just like that scratch on the car. It may be little. We may not be able to see it from standing away, but over time, it's going to start eating away. Going to start eating away at your walk, your prayer life, your reading your Bible. And then sooner or later, we're going to be sitting in church, and where's so-and-so at? Well, he got into some sin, and it drove him away. You know I'm right. You know you've seen it. We can think it's small. We could think we can take care of it, but we read in the Bible that we can't without God's help. So, I don't know how you are tonight. I know how the Lord spoke to my heart through this. And I know that daily, daily, we need to be asking God to search us. Search us. And show us where we have failed. How about it? Let's all stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Again, I don't know how the Lord spoke to your heart, but if you have something that you need to take care of tonight, why don't you come down to an old-fashioned altar where grace and mercy and help can be found? And ask for just that, grace, mercy, and help. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this message. Thank you for the challenge that's been in my life. I thank you for the clear, clear, clear testimony that you've given to us that we can go to you for help and know that you will forgive. Lord, I just ask that you be with the rest of the service tonight. Lord, just be with the invitation. God, if there is one here that's not saved, or even one that's watching online, Lord, that's not saved, Lord, that today would be their day of salvation. We'd be able to rejoice and glorify you for your grace and your forgiveness of, and your salvation, Lord. Lord, again, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the time we've been able to spend together. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.